You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
And so let's get into this. Let's look at a couple of foundation scriptures that we have. And we're going to be looking at this. By the way, I ran out of room on your message notes, so these two scriptures aren't on your message notes, but they will be on the screen for you. But let's look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. It says this, and I'm reading from the Good News Translation on this particular verse. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged." And so we said that in week one that there are opportunities for us to become discouraged in prayer, maybe because we have been praying for something and we haven't seen anything change, or that thing that we've been believing God for, it just doesn't seem like it's manifested yet. And so we have a tendency to become tired and discouraged in praying. But Jesus said, don't get discouraged. We ought to always pray anyway. And then we go to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, two very short little verses. Paul said this, always be joyful. Always be joyful. By the way, and we'll teach on this sometime, but happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness depends on your external circumstances. Joy is something that the power of God releases on the inside of you. And you can be joyful even when everything around you is going awry. I mean, just getting crazy. So Paul said, always be joyful. And then verse 17, and never stop praying. So we need to learn to pray on a consistent basis. One of the other reasons that I believe that we grow discouraged in praying and we don't continue with it is because a lot of times we don't know how to pray. And certain situations, certain types of prayers require different principles and things to apply to them. And so we're touching base on those types of prayers. And so we're going to be looking today at a couple of specific prayers that you can pray. I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in the room that you have in your family, maybe in your friends or circle of friends or coworkers, whatever the case might be, somebody that's not saved? All right. Well, all of us do. And so anybody you desire in that group that you just raised your hand for, that you desire to see them receive Christ. Okay, I think we all would say amen to that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how do you pray for people who don't know Jesus. And we're going to see that there is a proper way to pray that the Scripture outlines for us so that God can move in their lives and begin to deal with them and minister to them and bring them to a place where they want to receive Christ. And then at the end of the message today, we'll talk about how to pray for believers. And so we're going to learn how to pray for unbelievers, and we're going to learn how to pray for believers. But let's jump into this, and let me establish a principle for you, and this is a fact. Everybody say, that's a fact. Turn to somebody and say it with a little attitude. That's a fact, Jack. All right. Say it again. I felt like you had a good time saying it the first time. I wanted you to enjoy it the second time. So here's a fact, and we need to establish this because this will lay the groundwork for our prayer going forward, and that is this. Here's the thing. Write this down. Salvation has already been purchased for all mankind, and forgiveness awaits all who will receive it. I'm going to say it again. Salvation has already been purchased for all mankind, and forgiveness awaits those who will receive it. I think we might not acknowledge this, but I think sometimes we believe that somehow when somebody receives Christ, that Jesus comes back and lives in the earth, dies on the cross, is raised from the dead again, and then ascends to the Father. And the fact of the matter is, all of that was accomplished 2,000 years ago. And so it's very important that we understand that the price has already been paid. The work is already completed. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. It says this, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once." Everybody say once. Once. for all. Everybody say for all.
For all.
Say once.
Once.
For all.
For all.
Once.
Once.
For all.
For all.
So the price has been paid how many times?
Once.
And for who?
For all.
So the price has been paid one time for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly. He's drawn a contrast to the Old Testament. And he says, and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, what's his name?
Jesus.
Say his name again.
Jesus.
But this man, Jesus, after he had offered how many sacrifices?
One.
For sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from this time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by how many? Offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, there's a couple of theological words in there that I need to unravel for you, and that is this. The price has already been paid for our salvation. Jesus paid the price how many times? And for who?
For all
at the same time. Now, it says there at the end, it says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, let me explain that. In God's mind, because of the work of Jesus Christ, you are already perfect. Okay? Turn to somebody and say, you're looking at a perfect person. Okay? And so, some of you need to turn to your spouse and say, I told you so. I told you I was perfect. Now, Jesus has already perfected us. Now, somebody says, but I know I'm not walking in that or, you know, living out that perfection. Listen, none of us are totally. We will when Jesus returns or we go home to be with the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, in the heart and the mind of God, because of what Jesus has already done, you are already perfected. Now, it says there in the last part of that verse, though, it says he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, sanctification is the work that's happening in us now to cause us to line up with that perfection. See, Jesus spiritually has already perfected you, but how many of you know we still live in a flesh body, we live in a broken world, we need to renew our minds, and so that is the process that's called sanctification. Sanctification is the purifying of who we are so that our being totally lines up with what Jesus has already made us to be. And so that Jesus told us, let me check, let's do a pop quiz. Jesus paid the price for how many? How many times?
Once.
All right, so it's already been done. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. It says this, he, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now that's good news to me, because here's what that means. Because of what Jesus did for us, you have already and are already living in the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter the kingdom of God when you die and go to heaven. You're in the kingdom of God now. You are a kingdom citizen now. So it says that he delivered us from the power or authority of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Look at this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to say something that might, kind of go against the religious grain a little bit. Okay? Listen to me very carefully and I'll explain it. God has already forgiven all of mankind through the work of what Jesus Christ did for us all. Okay? Now somebody says, well, how can that be? Does that mean that everybody's going to go to heaven? No, it doesn't mean everybody's going to go to heaven. What it means is forgiveness is following every man, woman, boy, and girl around everywhere they go so that all they have to do is receive it. Okay? Now, that means, and there is a doctrine that was floating around, maybe in the early 90s, and some got off believing it, called the doctrine of universalism. And what it means is that Jesus paid the price for everybody and nobody's going to go to hell. Okay? Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Adultery, fornication, pornography, alcoholism, all of those things are not what send people to hell. Okay? I just kicked another sacred cow right then, all right? No, let me tell you what, there's only one sin that will send people to hell, and that is failing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right? So we need to understand what the Bible teaches. But I want you to get it clear in your thinking that it is a fact. Jesus has already completed the work. His blood has already been shed. The price has already been paid. And in the heart and mind of God, all of us are already forgiven. But we have to receive that forgiveness. Okay? And so this is very important in understanding this. So the reason being that people don't necessarily, or that some won't spend an eternity with the Lord after they die, is because of the next thing I want you to write down, and that is this: salvation and forgiveness must be received. It is not automatic. God is not going to force it on anybody. Okay? And can I say this? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Hell was not created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his team. What sends people to hell is a lack of making a decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? So that's what causes that. So for us to, listen to me carefully, for us to pray for unsaved people and to say, Lord, save so-and-so, is not an appropriate prayer. Why? Because he already has. The work has already been done. Somebody said, God, you're getting heavy right into the early part of the message. I know, I got to dive right into this because I need you to understand it. So we're not praying for God to save people. The work has already been accomplished. Turn to somebody and say, he's already done it. Okay? So for us to pray, Lord, save so-and-so, is unscriptural because the work of salvation is already complete, and in God's heart and mind, it is established, and humanity just needs to receive the work of what Jesus did. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. It says this: for everyone, say everyone. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I'm amazed, okay, and I think, can I just say this? I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised who's there. There's going to be some folk in heaven that you didn't think made it. Why? Because we don't know how God deals with people right up to the last moment of their life, to their very last breath. Listen, the mercy of God endures forever. He loves people. And the scripture says it is not his will that any should perish. And so I think we're going to be surprised at some folks who made it to heaven. I also think we're going to be surprised at some folks who didn't make it. I'm just saying. All right. So let's look at this. Romans chapter 10 again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Say this after me. Pastor, you have beautiful feet. Thank you so much. God bless you. That's what the Bible says. Now, it applies to you too. All right. Now, I want to walk through this because Paul gives us a little breakdown of how this works. Okay? So I want you to write these down, and I want us to follow along with this. So Paul says this. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So they call on him because they believe in him. So people have to be brought to a place where they believe in Jesus, or they believe the gospel. The next thing that has to happen, or that what leads up to that, is because they believe in him because they have heard in him or heard about him. Now Romans 10:17 says faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. So what happens is when people hear the good news, faith arises in their heart to want to believe what the gospel says, that they're already forgiven and all they have to receive is God's mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness. So they call on Him because they believe in Him. They believe in Him because they've heard about Him. Here's the third thing. They hear because someone tells them. Someone tells them. Now, let me just say this. People have to preach the gospel or proclaim or tell the gospel. Angels can't do it. God can't do it. Why? Because He doesn't live and dwell here on the earth. He designed it where human beings, people, have to convey the Word of God to one another. All right? So if you're holding out hoping that an angel appears to you and tells you you need to get saved, you need to quit holding out. All right? Let me just tell you right now, if you don't know Jesus right now, you need to know Jesus. All right? So listen, they call on Him, they call on the Lord and get saved because they believe in Him. They believe in Him because they've heard about Him. They hear about Him because someone tells them. And here's the last thing. People go and tell them because they are sent. Sent. Okay? Now what's interesting about this word sent is it comes from the Greek word that we get the word apostle from. Okay? So listen, if you've ever been used by the Lord to tell somebody else about Jesus, you in one level are an apostle. You're a sent one is what the word literally means. Now there is an office of the apostle that's a little bit different, but what I want you to see is that God has called us all to be proclaimers of the gospel. Okay? So here's what I'm wanting you to see is that, again, let me go through this, that people believe, because they call on Him to get saved because they believe. They believe in Him because they have heard. They hear because someone tells them, and people go and tell them because they are sent. Okay? Now, that means all of us as believers are called to, we're called to be sent to tell people about Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to get, is that some people have to be sent in order for your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers, whoever it might be, for them to hear the gospel. All right? Now, here's what Jesus said, pray. He said in Matthew chapter 9, well, let me give you this. People get sent, here we go, because we pray for them to get sent. I'm going to say it again. Remember, people call on the Lord because they believe. They believe because they've heard. They hear because somebody tells them, and people tell them because they're sent. People get sent because we pray for them to get sent. Remember, listen, remember what I said. Praying for the Lord to save so-and-so is not the way to pray, because the work has already been done. They're already saved in the heart and mind of God. But they have to call, they have to believe, they have to hear because somebody's been sent. So let's see what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. I believe that's a good picture of the world today. I believe that's a picture. If Jesus were here in His body, in His flesh body, and ministering here in the earth today, and He looked out among humanity, I think He would feel the same way. He would see that people are scattered, they're weary, they're tired, they're looking for something to change in their lives. And so in verse 37, then He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Now I want to stop right here. In other words, what He said was He looked and He saw the people in front of Him. And He said, the harvest is ready. It's plentiful. It's ready to be harvested. But the people that are supposed to go forth into the harvest to harvest are few. All right? But He said, there's something we can do about that. He said in verse 38, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send. Everybody say send. Send out laborers into his harvest. Okay? So the proper way for us to pray for unsaved people is not, Lord, save them, but rather, because remember, they have to call because they believe. They believe because they've heard. They've heard because somebody tells them, and somebody tells them because somebody was sent. So the proper way for us to pray for our loved ones, pray for our friends that need Jesus, is, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to send someone across their path to minister the word or the gospel to them. Are you following me? Okay. Somebody might say, well, if the Lord wants to send forth laborers into harvest, why doesn't he just do it? Here's something that we need to understand about prayer. We've been saying this in all the parts leading up to this, and that is this. Prayer is what gives God the invitation to be able to move in the earth. I don't have time to go into an in-depth teaching on it, but you need to understand, God needs people. Are there any people in here? I thought, what about the rest of you? Y'all not peoples? Are there any people in the room? All right. God needs people to pray to give him access to move into the earth. So what God needs is for somebody to ask him, and I'm going to say this, but listen to me carefully, to give him permission to send people into their lives so that they can preach or teach or tell them the gospel. All right, so that's what we have to do. God knows exactly, listen to me, God knows the exact right person that that loved one will listen to. And can I say something to you? Just a little helpful hint, okay? This is Martha Stewart's helpful hints moment, okay? Sometimes it's not going to be you, because that loved one might not receive it from you. Okay, so, see, sometimes, and I used to do this early on when I gave my heart to Jesus. I loved the Lord. I knew something had happened on the inside of me, and I wanted everybody I knew to come to know him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that I came on a little too strong, and some people didn't receive it. Okay, listen, you can't walk up to people and slap the beer can out of their hand and tell them, you're going to burn. Or, you know, turn or burn. You know, one of those types of things. You can't do that, all right? There is a way to communicate the gospel so people's hearts will be open to it. Because here's the bottom line. It's still up to the person to receive it. God is not going to override their will. They still have to make a decision to receive what Jesus is telling them. Okay, so we have to pray. So here's something else that you can do. Well, let me say this first. You pray and you ask God, like Jesus said, Father, I'm asking you to send people into their lives that can tell them the good news. All right, so important. Remember, they call because they believe. They believe because they've heard. They hear because somebody tells them. Somebody tells them because they are sent. So what we're praying is that God will send people into the harvest. Now, it could be that you're used and sent into somebody else's life other than that family member or whomever. But what I'm saying to you is that God knows exactly the right person that they will hear, that they'll listen to, and exactly that he'll give them the right words to say to them, to minister to them, so that their hearts will be open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Okay. Now, here's something else that you can pray. Write this down. You can also pray that God will pour out his goodness in their lives so that it will bring them to a place of repentance. All right? Listen, can I say something else? Preaching hell so hot that people can smell the smoke has never won anybody to the Lord. Because all you've done is scared people into heaven. And really, listen, I share this from my own testimony. Our family was going to a denominational church when I was about 10 years old. And One Sunday night at the church, they showed this movie on hell. And it scared the out of me, okay? And all I knew, because it struck such fear in me, was I wanted to not go there. I didn't want to experience that. And so when the movie was over and they gave the invitation, I went down front, filled out the card, and so forth and so on. But can I tell you something? I was not born again. I was just scared. Okay? And what bothers me is people, and really the responsibility is on those who fill the pulpit. But the challenge is this. Our responsibility as preachers is not to preach it in a way where people are so afraid of God or afraid of going to hell that they buy fire insurance. And that's what a lot of people's religious experience boils down to. And here's the problem. Listen to me carefully. Okay, and I'm not the judge. I'm just telling you. A lot of people have gone through that situation and think because they're scared that they made a decision. And unfortunately, it's not the right decision. And they think they're all right with God. But the challenge is this. Getting saved is more than just fire insurance. Getting saved and receiving Christ is about entering into a relationship with God through what Jesus did for us. All right? So that being said, we can pray that God will pour out His goodness. Everybody say goodness. I wish people would get a hold of this. Look at what Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Folks, listen, if people could get a hold of how good God is, how much He loves them, how much He, and just like Melvin said, and we sang about earlier, how much He loves them unconditionally, He cares for them so much that Jesus has already paid the price. If people ever get that, that will cause their heart to want to turn. People don't want to go after a mean, ornery, bad mood being God. Really, they don't. And if we're going to win people to Jesus, we need to tell them about the goodness of God. Are you listening to me? Now somebody says, well, do we not tell people about hell? There is a time and a place. But listen, most of the time, what people need to hear about is the goodness of God and what He did for us through Jesus Christ. Okay? So, you can hear something else you can pray about. I didn't include this in your notes. But you can also pray. Ask you a question. Anybody got a relative that's about half crazy? Okay, I do. Okay, anybody got any relatives that are about half crazy that you're concerned that they don't have a whole lot of common sense or something along? Anybody, you know? Okay, and they all the time doing stupid stuff. All right. Okay. All right. I think we all know somebody that fits that description. Now, here's what you can also pray. Pray for their supernatural protection. Because see, what you need to understand is because of their stupidity, the devil would like to take them out before they've had a chance to receive Christ. Here's what we can do. We can pray and intercede on their behalf and ask God to supernaturally protect them in spite of themselves so that they have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. All right? And especially, you know, it was funny with that, but listen, we might know people that are involved in drugs or some type of, addiction like that. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, protect them so that they don't lose their life before they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, here's another piece to this, and that write this down. We also need, and we can also break the power of the devil over them because it is he that is blinding their minds to the gospel. Okay? It is the devil that is blinding people's minds to the gospel. You know, I'm amazed when I see people and you know, all kinds of people, whether it's political leaders or whomever, And I'm like, they are doing the dumbest stuff. Do they not understand what they're doing? And the answer is no, they don't. Why? Because they're blind. You ever asked a person that's been blind all their life, never seen one day, one moment in all of their life, you go up to them and you say, describe to me the color blue. They can't. They've never seen it. Okay, well, I'll let you slide on blue. How about orange? They can't. Can you tell me what a sunset looks like? They can't. You know why? Because they're blind. They have never seen it. Now, I'm going to help you with something right here. Listen to me carefully. We need to quit holding the world to Christian standards. They're never going to measure up to that. Okay? Listen, don't get disappointed when your favorite sports superstar messes up. If they don't know Jesus, they're just doing what sinners do. And I'm not excusing it, don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying they're blind. They can't see what they need to do. They can't see the truth. So what we have to do is we have to go in through the name of Jesus and break the power of the devil that is blinding them from the truth. Somebody said, I don't know about that. Okay, well, hold on. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, in other words, you remember an old school, remember, think Middle Eastern veil, okay? Some, like some women in the Middle East wear today, okay? People that don't know Jesus are blinded by a veil. They can't see. So if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. In other words, people that don't believe. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So what do? We can say, Father, in Jesus' name, I break the power of the devil over so-and-so. Satan, you take your hands off of them. You loose them and stop blinding them to the gospel. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, and we'll talk about this more in just a second, send forth the laborers. Now, I'm going to help you a little bit here, okay? There are loved ones that I've been praying correctly, scripturally, for 2 or 3 years, and I still don't see any change. Don't quit praying. Don't get discouraged. Because here's something else you need to know, especially with loved ones. They might not always tell you what's going on in here. God might be dealing with them. People might be talking to them, and you don't have a clue. That's why you can't be moved by what you see. Okay? Are you listening to me? All right. So here's the correct way. No, I tell you what, I'm going to save this to the end, and we're going to pray for some people at the end. How about that? All right. So do you feel like you understand how to pray for lost people, unsaved people? You pray for God to send forth laborers into their lives so that they can hear and receive the gospel. You can pray for their protection. You pray that God pours out His goodness upon them. And then you break the power of the devil who's blinding their minds to the gospel. All right, you got it? All right. So then that brings us to the next thing that we need to learn how to pray for. How do we pray for people who do know Jesus, who do know Christ and have been born again? Because there's a way that we need to pray for believers, okay? And listen, I personally believe, and you can disagree with me, but I personally believe Christians, and I might be naive, but I believe Christian people want to grow. They want to mature. They want to be better. They want to do things right. I know there's not, but listen, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? So I just believe as a whole, people generally want to follow after the things of God. However, We all know maybe somebody that has given their heart to Christ and they've gone stagnant in their growth. Maybe they went so far in their walk with Jesus and it just stopped. And maybe they're not going to church and fellowshipping with other believers like they need to, or they're not spending time in the Word, or they're not spending time in prayer. And so it just seems like they're kind of coasting a little bit and they're not moving forward. By the way, there is no such thing as neutral in your spiritual growth. You're either going forward or you're going backwards, okay? And I want all people, I want especially the people of the Spring Hill Church and everybody that you know to be moving forward in their growth and in their relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, sometimes we hear about people that we know and love that might, you know, get caught up in some incorrect doctrine or something like that, because the Bible does teach that the enemy will try and deceive people and get them caught up with things that are unbiblical and they don't need to be involved in, okay? And here's the other thing that we need to understand as far as a principle is concerned, and this is so, so very important, and that is that when people don't know what to do, they always revert to what they do know to do, okay? Yeah, put that up on the screen, please, guys. If people don't know what to do, they will always revert back to what they do know to do. So you get somebody that's young in the things of the Lord. They don't, you know, they haven't really been taught or they're not very mature spiritually. Listen, in going through life and navigating life, if they don't know what to do, spiritually speaking, they're going to revert back to what they've always done or what they know to do. And sometimes that's not the best thing. All right, I can say that for myself. You know, in my walk with Jesus, if I didn't know what to do, instead of doing what I needed to do to find out what to do, a lot of times I'd just revert back to old habits, old ways of responding and that type of thing. And I think probably there's other people in the room that can identify with that. And so, you know, we need to understand that about people. So here's the key. People need help. Believers need help. I can tell you, everybody in the room except me has to grow spiritually. I was just, yeah, every one of us, all right? I was just seeing if you're paying attention, all right? Listen, none of us have arrived. All of us can grow, and we're going to grow, I think, throughout eternity. You can disagree with me, and I respect your right to be wrong. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be classes, okay? Because everybody's going to be at different levels. People are going to, you know, get to heaven, and they haven't heard a lot of what you've heard. And so I think probably God's going to put me as teaching a class. I hope all of y'all are in my class. Because we're going to go over some stuff that over and over and over and over again, all right? But let me show you something. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. So we have to walk in the what?
Light.
We have to walk in the
light.
Okay. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice He says, He just didn't say if we walk, but He said if we walk in the light. See, we have a responsibility to walk in the light. Does that mean that we're like lightning bugs and we just light up? No, that's not what He's talking about. The light that He's talking about is the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge that we have from God's Word. You and I are responsible for the Word that we've heard. Okay, listen, if you sit in church every Sunday, and I'm thankful that you do, but it's kind of dangerous because when you sit in a service like this and you hear the Word of God, you're responsible for what you've heard. You're responsible to walk in it. Okay, so He says, if we walk in the light. Now, what that tells me because of that word if is that there might be an opportunity for you to not walk in the light that you have. But He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, for you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay? Now, light is what is, it's used in the scriptures in the New Testament to indicate something that we need to possess, that we have to receive, that we have to walk in. And what he's talking about is revelation or light that we receive from the Word of God. So write this down, please. Every believer needs more light or revelation from God's Word for us to grow and our lives to be different and better. Anybody in the room, you'd like for your life to be better? Okay, I would. All right. Well, guess what? That is going to come as you receive light and revelation from God's Word and you walk in it. Okay, are you tracking with me? All right. Now, here's the thing that I want you to get. Write this down, please. It is still the individual's choice to walk in the light that we receive. You know, you can leave, you can come to church and I can see your smiling face and I can love on you, but you can make a decision when you walk out of here every Sunday, I am not going to do what I've just heard. And guess what? It's not going to impact your life. God is trying to make our lives better. He's trying to improve our lives. He's trying to improve our relationships. He's trying to help us walk in all that He has in store for us, but it requires us receiving light and revelation from His Word and making the decision that we're going to walk in it. So then, all of that being said, what that implies is, if I'm going to pray for people who are already born again, then what I need to do is I need to pray for you that you receive more light and that you walk in the light that you have. Okay? See, for us to pray things like, God, I just need you to move in so-and-so's life and do whatever you want to do. Okay? See, God can't respond to that. Ha! All right. No, what we have to do is with both feet on the ground, you can raise your voice if you want to, but you can say it in whatever tone. You need to pray that people receive more light. Let me give you a couple of prayers that Paul prayed for Christians, okay? They're kind of lengthy, but I'll resist for the sake of time making a whole lot of commentary, but I want to say this to you. I'm going to give you three prayers from Paul's epistles to the Ephesus church and to the church at Colossae that he prayed for believers. And by the way, you can pray these prayers for yourself. Anybody in the room besides me need more light, okay? You can pray and ask God to give you more light. So let's look at what Paul prayed. He said, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's what he prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Through, that's what that little comma means, through the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. One translation says, through the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. So here's three things Paul prayed, that we would receive light from God's Word, that we would come to know what is the hope, the expectation of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. God is waiting to pour out power into your life that is superhuman, spiritual, Almighty God power, but He can't pour it until you're ready to receive it. The same power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Is there anybody in the room that you're part of the body of Christ? Okay. Well, guess what? He just prayed that you would get a revelation to understand that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Listen, when Tripp walked in the building today, I didn't say, here comes Tripp head in his body. I said, here comes Tripp. If Jesus is the head and we're the body, we're all one. And he says, Jesus is seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Is cancer a name? Yes. Then you're seated above that name. Is poverty a name? Yes. You're seated above that name. Is sickness a name? Yes. You're seated above that. Are marital problems a name? Yes. You're seated above that. Hallelujah. And he's put all things under his feet. Well, if it's under the head's feet, it's under your feet. Amen. Okay, I got to stop. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. Here's another prayer. Paul said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Folks, and listen, I'm just as guilty as anybody. We need to stop saying, I'm so weak and tired. Why don't we start saying, I am strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I am rooted and grounded in love, and I'm able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and I know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And listen, you're not ready for this part, and that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. You need to be walking around saying, I am full of Almighty God. I am wall to wall Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One translation says that you would be filled until you get to the place where you're overflowing with God. I want to get to the place in this where I'm just moving around and people bump into me and the fullness of God pumps out. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's what you need to be praying. And quit saying, I don't know what to do. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that I am full of the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I know what my next steps are. I know what your plan is for my life, and I'm full of it. He said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen, there we go, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who is qualified. Turn to somebody and say, I'm qualified. I'm qualified. I'm not moved by what the bank says. I'm qualified. I am qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. So this is just three prayers that you can pray for people who know Jesus. These are three prayers that you can pray for yourself. And I promise you, after you begin to pray for them, and I'm not talking about once a year. I'm talking about you get these things out and you pray them over yourself day after day after day after day after day. I'm telling you, I've been doing this fervently and believing God and praying these things over my life diligently like I never have before. And I look back over the last few years and it's a wonder I knew how to get in out of the rain. The things that I'm seeing where God is opening my eyes and I'm beginning to see things from the Word like I've never seen before. It's because I've been looking to receive them from Him. Hallelujah. Now, here's what we're going to do as we wrap this up. I want us to pray. All of us pretty much raised our hands and we said we had friends or loved ones that need to receive Christ. So we're going to pray for them today. And what I want you to do is I want you to get one person in your mind, one person. And I want you to focus on them and I want you to call their name. You don't have to call it loud, but in just a second, I'm going to tell you when to call their name. Are you ready? Are you ready for people to come to Jesus like never before? Let's see people come to Him like we've never seen them before. So let's pray for these people. Say this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up before You. Now just whisper their name. And in Jesus' name, I believe the price has been paid for them. They just need to know about it. So Father, I'm asking You to send forth people into their lives to tell them the good news. Tell them how much You love them. To tell them what Jesus has done for them. Now, Father, You know the right people. You know exactly who they'll listen to. Order their steps. Bring them across their paths. Let them hear the truth of the gospel. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the devil over their minds. Satan, You loose them in Jesus' name. Stop blinding them to the gospel. Now, Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for protecting them, keeping them safe. Thank You, Father, for pouring out Your goodness. Oh, God, let them see Your goodness in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, that, and You call their name again, is coming into the kingdom. I see them as born again. I see them as filled with God's Spirit. I see them fulfilling Your plan and purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Now wait. Let me tell you this, okay? Now, that's not a one-time deal, all right? So what you begin to do now is, Father, I thank You for the people that are coming into their lives. When you think about that person, Father, I thank You, Lord, for the laborers that are coming into their lives. Thank You, Father, that they're hearing the Word. Thank You, Father, that they're seeing Your goodness. And just begin to praise God and thank Him for moving in their lives. Because here's the good news. He did as of just a few moments ago. He began to move. Hallelujah. I believe, folks, we're going to see some people come in. Hallelujah. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the harvest. Hallelujah. And by the way, God is too. He's ready. Praise God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for our time together today. Lord, I thank You for the privilege that we've had to hear and receive Your word. Father, I thank You that it's fallen on the good ground of the hearts of people of Spring Hill Church. And Father, I thank You that it'll bring forth fruit. Lord, I believe we're learning how to pray effective prayers, prayers that You can hear and respond to and move in the earth, oh, like You so long and desire to. And Father, I thank You for it. Lord, I just believe in Jesus' name that, and just agree with every single person, Father, that we're seeing victory and change in our lives like never before. And Father, I believe that because we're learning how to fellowship with You, to pray, to worship, Lord, I believe it's going to affect our 2020. And we're going to see a year like we've never seen before in Jesus' name. Now, Father, if there should be anybody under the sound of my voice in this room today that doesn't know You, that's never given their heart to You and received what we talked about at the beginning, the free gift of Your grace and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus has already paid for, Father, I pray that You would help me find them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that You would draw them by Your Spirit. Father, should there be anybody in the room today that maybe has given their hearts to Christ, but they're not walking with the Lord like they know they should? Maybe their hearts have grown cold towards the things of God. Father, I thank You for drawing them by Your Spirit. And in Jesus' name, Lord, reveal to them that You love them, that You care for them. I want to tell you, if that describes you today, if you've never given your heart to Christ, today is your day. Somebody might say, well, you know, I'll do it next week, Pastor. No, the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till next week. Make the decision today. If you're here today and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, the devil's going to lie to you and say, well, you know what? God doesn't really want you back. You've messed up too badly. Well, I want you to know that's a lie. God is pursuing after you right now. He loves you. And the scripture says, Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15, if we would turn our hearts back towards home, he said in the story of the prodigal son that the father would run and capture you and fall on you with his mercy and grace and embrace you and kiss you because he loves you. And he doesn't want us to clean up before we come home. No, you can come exactly as you are. Jesus said, come as you are. And so that's the way we come, in Jesus' name. I would love the privilege of being able to pray with you. If I've described you on either one of those invitations, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, make you come down front or put the microphone in your hand and make you give a 10-minute testimony. No, it's just simply taking a step of faith and praying a prayer with me in just a moment. If you'd like to pray that prayer with me, would you do me a favor and just raise your hand? And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, I want to pray. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to give my heart to Jesus for the first time. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me and say it so loud you can hear it with your own ears. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe with all my heart that you died for me, that you paid the price for my sin. I believe that you were dead, but I also believe that you were raised from the dead. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. And Father, I come back to you today. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for embracing me. Thank you for cleaning me up so that I can become all that you want me to be. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm clean. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, we had some hands go up. Let's celebrate this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift it up. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.